Good afternoon. So I'm here to tell you about an examination we did of the alcohol retail environment on and near Indian reservations in Minnesota and also motorcycle vehicle accidents in that same area. I have no financial relationships to disclose. I think it's really important to give you some background on American Indians because they're a very unique population, and this isn't presented in the American Indian Caucus, and so I think it's especially important so you understand the context in which these data are presented. American Indians face numerous health, social, and economic disparities. They have lower educational attainment than the general population and are more likely to live in poverty. They die more often from, they have higher infant mortality rates and overall mortality rates, and they die more often from causes such as diabetes, heart disease, all cancers, lung cancer, and suicide. They also die more often from unintentional injury. These disparities can be traced to the fact that they are survivors of a centuries-long attempt to eliminate them. The United States government has enacted deliberate policies of extermination and religious persecution against Native people. Native women were involuntarily sterilized in the 1970s, and it was actually illegal to practice their religion until 1978. In addition, there is the termination of the status and rights of the sovereign nations, removing recognition of 109 tribes, which severed their trust and treaty rights. Forced assimilation was conducted through being forbidden from practicing their traditional life ways, instead being made to adopt European American practices and religions. They were confined to reservations by the military, boarding schools, dividing reservations into individual allotments that were given to individual heads of households, and relocation programs were other tactics that were used. These pervasive acts intended to erase Native people have caused tremendous trauma and grief. Additionally, due to different conceptualizations of kinship and time, abuses and thefts that may have been perpetrated against someone's great-great-grandparents are felt as keenly by someone living today as if it had happened to them themselves. This is termed historical trauma. Reichardt describes it as the cumulative emotional and psychological wounding across generations, including the lifespan, which emanates from this massive group trauma. And the historic trauma response is something that comes from this, and that includes things such as depression, substance abuse, and violence. One useful tool that the colonists had at their disposal was alcohol. Native people in North America didn't have alcohol before Europeans arrived, and so they had no cultural experience or ways of dealing with it. Alcohol was a valuable trade good for the Europeans. It wasn't a durable good like pots or guns or knives, so when the supply of alcohol ran out, they would have to return to the European traders. So it was really useful for traders to get more trade goods like furs. In addition, white traders used it to get more favorable deals from the native traders. It was used during the signing of treaties and later to obtain allotted land from individual landholders. And today, the stereotype still persists of the drunken Indian. And when people find out that I work with Native communities, usually that's the first thing they assume is that I work on alcohol issues. And then when they find out that I work on maternal and child health, and they're like, oh, it's fetal alcohol syndrome that you must focus on. And that's, in this case, it's true that I'm doing a project about alcohol, but generally I don't. So with this kind of a legacy, it's no surprise that alcohol abuse may disproportionately affect many American Indians. But what's important to keep in mind is that many data sources don't adequately sample Native people. American Indians make up about 1% of the total U.S. population, so surveys that lack oversamples are unlikely to get a good representative sample. And even when oversamples are attempted, it's really difficult to reach them for numerous logistic reasons. And even when they are reached, when those obstacles are overcome, Native potential participants may be disinclined from participating due to the egregious abuses of past researchers and the government. In addition, there's always still the question of whether a survey and the methodology is culturally appropriate. So with those in mind, here are some data. In 2011, our organization conducted a survey in 7 Ojibwe tribes in Minnesota. And the N was over 2,000, and the results showed that 38% had had at least one alcoholic drink in the previous 30 days. For the 2011 Minnesota Burfis, with the N of about 15,000, they sampled 151 Native people. And the results echoed what we found, which I found that surprising. So they found that 38% had had an alcoholic beverage in the previous 30 days. But what is really interesting here is when you look at it, look at Native, the Native rates in comparison to the whites and the all races. And white Minnesotans, about 61% had a drink in the last 30 days. And in general, Minnesotans had 59%, 60% had a drink in the last 30 days. So the stereotype is not universally true, or doesn't appear to be true in Minnesota. When we look at binge drinking the previous 30 days, it's a little bit different. A slightly higher percent of American Indians binge drink in the last 30 days, and that's 4 drinks for women and 5 drinks for men at one time, compared to 17% for whites and also 17% for all the all races population. But because the ends are so small, I'm not really sure that this is a big difference. And this pretty much echoes what I've heard from communities, is that while there's this alcohol is a big problem, many, many Indians don't drink at all. But those who do, they may drink more heavily. And I don't have any of the data for intensity of drinking. So for this project, our objectives were to examine alcohol-related crashes in non-metropolitan areas on or near Indian reservations compared to non-metropolitan areas not on or near Indian reservations in Minnesota, and to examine alcohol sales and the number of alcohol-related businesses in non-metropolitan areas on or near Indian reservations compared to non-metropolitan areas not on or near Indian reservations in Minnesota. When looking at American Indian data, it can be challenging because very few data sets contain reservation-level geographies. And in fact, the only one I can think of really across the country is the census. But county-level data is much more common. And so the way that we sort of look at local-level data is we use something called a contract health service delivery area, or a CHISDA. So we use CHISDAs as a proxy because they're what the Indian Health Service uses when they determine their user population for clinics. And those are the counties that include or adjoin American Indian reservations. So here in this study we did, we're comparing non-metropolitan counties on or near Indian reservations with the non-metropolitan counties not on or near Indian reservations. This is a map that shows the areas we're looking at. The CHISDA counties are the ones that are purple, and the green are the non-CHISDAs, and the light gray is the greater metropolitan area of Minneapolis and St. Paul, which we excluded from our analysis. And just as a comparison, these are the lands for the Indian reservations in Minnesota. We used data from 3 sources. From the U.S. Census Bureau, we got population estimates for 2007 through 2010. I'll tell you a little bit more about these other 2 data sources in a minute, but just as an overview, we got population estimates for 2011 from Prime Location Web and also Retail Reports. And from the Minnesota Department of Transportation, we got crash reports for 2007 through 2011. The Minnesota Department of Transportation crash reports are completed by law enforcement officers at the scene of a crash. They contain detailed information regarding location, the parties involved, fault, time, factors involved in the crash, injury, and death. They're really large data sets. They contain other variables besides those that I've listed. And so, especially since we were looking at so many counties for several years, MnDOT was kind enough to provide us with Excel sheets with just the variables we were interested in. And so those were county of occurrence of the crash, age of the driver, driver condition related to alcohol, specifically had been drinking or commercial driver with greater than 0.04 blood alcohol concentration, and the total number of crashes. Prime Location Web is a web-based software with mapping and report generating capabilities. It's produced by the Nielsen Company, and it was made available to us through the Community Market Analyses Grant from the Directors of Health Promotion and Education. And that grant is a software and training grant only. And so the purpose was to allow public health agencies access to the same tools that corporations have been using, that they use to make their decisions about how to target populations. So we got population numbers for 2011 from PL Web. They have their own statisticians and demographers, so we actually were able to get the population numbers for this year before the census had published it, because they have their own process. We also got reports for 2011 regarding liquor stores, drinking places, and alcohol sales. And even though we didn't use mapping on the specific project, I wanted to show you what it looks like. This is a map of the liquor stores in St. Louis County in Minnesota, and then I zoomed in to show you Duluth, which is a large city where a lot of American Indians live. And you can see the concentration of liquor stores there. We also selected, or we also used PL Web to get some reports. To select the businesses we are interested in, we ran a query for SIC codes. Standard industrial classification codes were developed by OSHA to categorize industries. We selected SIC code 5921 liquor stores to identify businesses primarily in the business of selling alcohol for consumption off the premises. We also selected 5813 drinking places to identify businesses that primarily sell alcohol for consumption off of the premises. And a note about this is we can't tell how much the sale of food contributes to the total cost or the total sales for the businesses. And here are some results. When comparing CHISDAs, so the areas near reservations or on reservations, with non-CHISDAs, we found that per capita alcohol sales were 22% higher in CHISDAs, amounting to about $215 per resident in 2011. In comparison, the per capita alcohol sales for non-CHISDA residents was about $176. There were 10% more liquor stores in CHISDAs than in non-CHISDAs. Per 1,000 residents, there are about 27 and 25 liquor stores in CHISDAs and non-CHISDAs, respectively. The difference was far greater when looking at drinking places, where there are over twice as many places to drink in CHISDAs as compared to non-CHISDAs. And overall, there were 57% more places to buy alcohol on or near reservations than not on or near reservations. And looking at the crash data from 2007 to 2011, per 100,000 residents, there was a higher crash rate in non-CHISDA counties compared to CHISDA counties. However, there was a higher rate for fatal crashes, crashes involving alcohol, and alcohol-related crashes that led to a fatality in CHISDAs. We also calculated some odds ratios. All of these presented are statistically significant. We found that the odds were 40% higher that a fatal crash occurred in a CHISDA compared to a non-CHISDA. Likewise, odds were greater that a crash was alcohol-related or that an alcohol-related crash would also be a fatal one in CHISDAs. For alcohol-related, they were 40% higher, and for alcohol-related and fatal, they were over twice as high. In conclusion, there were greater odds that a crash would be alcohol-related, fatal, or both on or near Indian reservations. There is a greater availability of alcohol on or near reservations in Minnesota. This holds true both for alcohol sales per capita and the number of liquor stores and drinking places. The higher odds for alcohol-related crashes may be related to the greater availability of alcohol on or near reservations in Minnesota. And although these data don't provide direct evidence, this echoes a pattern that is, has been seen where Native people are targeted with alcohol for the profit of others. And earlier I discussed some historical examples, but this practice continues today. And one contemporary example is that of White Clay, Nebraska, which is just outside the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. Various sources say that the population is either 14 or 6 people, and so it's very small. In 2010, White Clay's 4 beer stores sold 4.9 million cans of beer, or 13,000 cans per day, for gross sales of $3 million. And Mary Frances Berry, the chair of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, so that White Clay exists only to sell beer to the Oglala Lakota. So this study does have limitations. The crash reports are preliminary data that are collected at the crash site, and so later reports might have better, more accurate data. The Nielsen sales data is based on actual sales volume for publicly held companies, and otherwise it models from a national survey of 6 million businesses. Ground truthing wasn't conducted on any of this data, so we didn't go out and call. We didn't go out to any of the reservations or anywhere or call to verify any of the information. And there is always limitations inherent in self-reporting, and this data is self-reported by the businesses. And another thing that I think we need to think about is how tourists may contribute to these, the higher rates of motor vehicle accidents and also the alcohol sales. And so we didn't do an analysis by season, so if there's a difference between the tourist season and outside the tourist season. I'd like to acknowledge these people, especially my coworker Samantha, who's the co-author on the paper right there. And that's it.